Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our program. My name is Bob Riley, and I'll be reading Entertainment Weekly for the week of July 25th, right here on Sight Into Sound Radio. Let's do this, Helen. First up, let's call this television news. Jimmy Kimmel invites Stephen Colbert to guest host Jimmy Kimmel Live after controversial cancellation. Months after Stephen Colbert's final Late Show broadcast aired amid what many believed was a politically motivated cancellation, Jimmy Kimmel has once again shown solidarity with his fellow longtime Donald Trump critic. Though Colbert only signed off for the last time on The Late Show in May, Kimmel invited the pop culture icon to host his own Jimmy Kimmel Live amid a revolving door of guest stars stepping in while Kimmel goes on a summer hiatus. Quote, "The ratings are very strong, which we are very grateful to CBS for their wisdom," Kimmel sarcastically told Variety of the network's decision to yank The Late Show off the air in a move that some alleged was intended to court easier Federal Communications Commission approval for a then-pending merger between CBS parent company Paramount and Skydance. Quote, "Of course I asked Colbert to host, and I think it feels premature," Kimmel said, noting that Colbert declined the invitation. "But I told him, anytime you want to host it, doesn't matter if it's the summer, I'll gladly step aside." Entertainment Weekly has reached out to Colbert's representatives for comment. While CBS released a statement calling Colbert's cancellation purely a financial decision against a challenging backdrop in late night, many pushed back against the claim. Kimmel, whose long-standing criticism has also drawn the ire of Trump and the conservative media, likened Colbert's ousting to the late-night waters being poisoned, with many other personalities in the space criticizing CBS for its actions as well. David Letterman, who hosted The Late Show prior to Colbert, returned to the program near the end of his successor's run and criticized the entire affair. Quote, "I have every right to be pissed off, so I'll be pissed off here a little bit," Letterman told Colbert. "You folks wouldn't be at this theater if it weren't for me, and Stephen wouldn't be here if it weren't for me. We built this theater, and then Stephen came in here, and look at this. It's like the Bellagio. But as we all understand, you can take a man's show, but you can't take a man's voice. So that's the good news." He continued, "You know what I'm really worried about? What I'm really worried about is what will become of the Jimmys. Are they going to be all right?" Another longtime Trump critic, Rosie O'Donnell, will guest host Jimmy Kimmel Live for 1 week, beginning August 17th. Next up in television news, Netflix reverses decision to end Tyler Perry's Beauty in Black renews series for season 4. Don't drop the remote, Beauty in Black fans, because the series isn't ending yet. On Thursday, Netflix announced that it has renewed Tyler Perry's soapy thriller for a fourth season despite its earlier decision to conclude the series with its third installment. Beauty in Black is back for season 4. "And the Bellarese family story is far from finished," Perry told Tudum. "There was so much more I wanted to explore, and I'm very grateful I get to keep telling this story." The creator, writer, director, and executive producer then directed a message to his loyal viewers, adding, "To the audience that has been on this ride with us from day one, thank you for watching and sharing it with the world. More episodes are on the way." The announcement comes ahead of the premiere of season 3, which doesn't have a launch date yet. The third and, at this time, final chapter of the drama was announced in December, just a few months before the second half of season 2 premiered on March 19th. Netflix teased in a press release that season 3 would bring Kimmy's journey with the Bellary family to an epic conclusion. Taylor Polidor Williams recently hinted at her character's storyline, telling Netflix to Dumb that in season 3, fans will see Kimmy step fully into her power with all of the support she needs. Crystal Stewart, who plays Mallory, added, "The tension, the drama, and the power struggles are only going to deepen from here, and viewers are going to see these characters pushed further than ever before." At the same time, there's still lingering concern about how far the Bellary family's head of security, Jules Charles Malik Whitfield, might go in his search for the truth about his son Glenn's, a small, tragic death. Williams warned, "Grief can be relentless. When someone is carrying that kind of pain, they don't stop asking questions." Williams and Stewart return for Season 3 alongside Amber Rain Smith, Xavier Smalls, Rico Ross, Julian Horton, Stephen G. Norfleet, Richard Lawson, Terrell Carter, Brian Tanaka, Charles Malik Whitfield, and Debbie Morgan. While a release for Season 3 hasn't been announced yet, based on how the first two seasons were released, a fall 2026 premiere, around September or October, seems like a solid possibility. For now, fans can revisit every secret and betrayal in the first two seasons streaming on Netflix. Next up in movie news. Honestly, I don't know if this is movie news or not, but here we go. Real Neighborhood Spider-Man spontaneously saves wheelchair user from traffic incident. Days ahead of the release of Tom Holland's Spider-Man Brand New Day, the ever-growing web of Spider-Man has increased by one. A real-life superhero sprang into action as a Good Samaritan this week when a Jonesboro, Arkansas trampoline park employee dressed as Spider-Man for the attraction's superhero got out of his car to help a person struggling to cross the street in a wheelchair. In footage shared Tuesday by the local Jonesboro Police Department, the person in the wheelchair can be seen having trouble while crossing at a busy intersection. The unidentified Spider-Man hero then jumps out of his car to assist the other person, pushing the wheelchair all the way across the street before the light switched over. Local officials didn't name the individual, but did indicate to Arkansas news station KARK that the hero was on his way to work at the Ultimate Air Trampoline Park when the moment occurred. Quote, "We were able to spot this little web of kindness on our intersection cameras," the police department wrote online in addition to sharing the clip. The instance occurred days before the release of the next Spider-Man movie, with franchise star Holland set to reprise his role as Peter Parker in the July 31st blockbuster. While Holland will once again play Spider-Man, secrecy around the actress Sadie Sink's undisclosed role in the project continues to intrigue fans. The Stranger Things star further fanned the flames of mystery in a new promotional video ahead of the movie's debut. Quote, "Since the trailer dropped, I've seen so many theories about who I'm playing," Sink said in the clip. "To match your incredible energy, I've decided to give you three exclusive confirmed answers right now. I can confirm I'm not Spider-Man," Sink said. She joked that she is also not Aunt May, Marissa Tomei's character, and Peter Parker's aunt, who died in 2021's Spider-Man No Way Home. "And third, I can definitely confirm that I am in this movie," Sink said at the end of the clip, stoking more speculation about her part, which fans have already estimated could be anyone from X-Men staple Jean Grey, Parker's love interest Gwen Stacy, or Firestar, a red-haired superstar from the Marvel Comics. Next up in movie news, Elon Musk threatens an historically accurate Odyssey movie made entirely with AI. Elon Musk is tripling down on his hatred of Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey. The Tesla CEO has reportedly tried to force the Inception filmmaker's adaptation of Homer's epic into a culture war talking point by promoting racist and transphobic commentary about the casting of actors like Lupita Nyong'o and Elliot Page. Now, Musk is taking his disdain for Nolan's film one step further, claiming that his AI video generator, Grok Imagine, will make its own version of The Odyssey by the end of 2026. Quote, "Before this year ends, Grok Imagine will make a full-length movie of The Odyssey that is historically accurate and true to the art of Homer," Musk claimed in a post that he pinned to his X profile. "Grok Imagine Odyssey will be hot," he said in another post. The prospect of a historically accurate version of Homer's poem is puzzling, as the story contains mythical monsters like a cyclops, as well as active participation from Greek gods like Athena and Poseidon. If Musk's dream version of the Odyssey is historically accurate, will there be space for these mythological figures? It doesn't seem like Musk is necessarily committed to making his alternate version of the Odyssey with AI, as he also said he'd be open to funding a traditional film production, helmed by Mel Gibson, for some reason. Quote, I want Elon Musk to give Mel Gibson $100 million to film an Odyssey adaptation with painstakingly historically accurate ships, armor, weapons, and casting, with all dialogue taken straight from the original poem and delivered in Homeric Greek, an ex-user wrote. I'm down, Musk responded. Despite Musk's objections to Nolan's creative choices, The Odyssey has received nearly universal acclaim from critics and audiences alike. The film holds a 94% approval rating from critics on Rotten Tomatoes and a 97% approval rating from verified viewers on the same platform. Both of these numbers mark the highest of Nolan's career so far, though Memento and The Dark Knight also hold a 94% critic score. Nolan, who prioritized practical effects for The Odyssey, previously spoke out against the use of AI in filmmaking, as he noted that Gen Z's distaste for AI spells doom for AI-based movies. Quote, their judgment of AI, slop, has been immediate and harsh, he told The Telegraph. They see it for what it is very quickly, and it's much easier for them to identify it because it grew out of an online world they know very well. And while that doesn't mean that every aspect of the technology is useless or meaningless in filmmaking, it's hitting at exactly the wrong time. After years of driving towards heavily virtual environments, we're seeing a renewed interest in more tactile, more real forms of storytelling. You're listening to Entertainment Weekly on Sight Into Sound Radio. You can listen to Sight Into Sound on HD4 on 88.7 KUHF, channel 8.5 on TV, streaming on your computer or smartphone as well as your smart speaker. You can also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at sightintosound.org. We are Sight Into Sound Radio since 1967. Moving on, music news. Jelly Roll and Bunny XO have finalized their divorce after a decade of marriage. Recording artist Jelly Roll and podcaster Bunny XO have finalized their divorce after a decade of marriage, according to multiple news outlets. TMZ first reported the news, which was confirmed by a source to People. Entertainment Weekly has reached out to representatives for Jelly Roll 41 and Bunny XO 46 for comment. The news comes 2 months after Jelly Roll, whose real name is Jason DeFord, filed for divorce from Bunny XO, whose real name is Alisa Andrea DeFord. The couple's split came to light last month. According to TMZ, citing court documents, the former couple will be splitting their assets, including cars, homes, intellectual properties, and an aircraft, while Bunny XO will be getting a one-time confidential lump sum payment from Jelly Roll. In an episode of her Dumb Blonde podcast last month, XO said, Jay and I have been building our dream house. We bought a compound and we've been building our dream house for the past year. Jay is so effing sweet that he's giving me that compound in the divorce because he knows how special it is to me. The former couple has been married for 10 years, and they renewed their vows in 2023. They were spotted together at events earlier this year, including at a stop on Bunny XO's Stripped Down, Unfiltered, and Unapologetic book tour in February. That same month, Jelly Roll opened up to People about how the two weathered difficult times in their marriage. Love, man. Love will always do it, he said. Communication, just believing you're with the right person, and believing that change can actually come. That's why we've been so honest about this story with everybody. We knew it would come with blowback, but our heart was to hope that somebody would hear it and believe that they could change. Though the two have not divulged a complete explanation for their divorce, both have since professed admiration for one another. I truly believe that my husband was the catalyst for me becoming the woman that I am today, XO said on her podcast. And without him, I would not be where I am. And I stand on that. She continued, Jay and I have been together going on 10 years, and he is my best friend. He has always been my best friend, and I love that man more than life itself. You guys have seen how I ride for that mofo. Even to this day, your girl is still riding for that man, and I always will. And that's just what it is, and that's how it is, and that's how it will always be. EXO also said the two were still having a baby together, which followed reports from earlier in the year that the couple had worked with a surrogate. Jelly Roll addressed the divorce during a June 18th concert, a video of which was posted on his Instagram. Quote, I wasn't going to talk about this tonight, but while we're talking about liars, the internet is a liar too, he said. It's the only time, the only city I'm going to speak about this, so break your camera phones out now. Me and my wife are best friends. We will always be best friends. We just got off the phone earlier today. Nobody cheated on nobody. She just did a whole podcast about it. You can go watch it. Every word of it is the truth. That will be my best friend forever. He added, this is the only time I will ever speak about it. Bunny, I love you, baby. Thank you for those 10 years. They were incredible. Thank you for the next 10 years of friendship and 20 beyond that. With that being shared, and cheers, everybody. Thanks for coming out tonight. Next up in music news, William Shatner. Yes, that William Shatner. To debut his heavy metal band, the Asterix Uckers. William Shatner may be 95 years old, but age will never stop him from rocking on. Shatner, yes, Star Trek legend William Shatner, is set to debut his new heavy metal rock band, the Uckers, at Riot Fest on Sunday, September 20th. The group will perform for the first time at Chicago's Douglas Park after the festival finally convinced Shatner to attend. Reportedly, they've been courting him for more than a decade. Quote, I'm going to be doing a live performance of my new live heavy metal spectacle, Shatner wrote in part on his Instagram account Thursday. This is an event you definitely will be telling your grandchildren about. I hope to see you there. Shatner also half-jokingly shared rider requests for his appearance, which included requirements like renaming a boat after him, prominently displaying his face on a billboard, setting up a dressing room named Shatner's Shag Shack, and securing a DeLorean for transport. I want to start acting like the heavy metal rock god that I am, so I have a few demands or requests for Chicago. Should this go to Chicago's mayor or maybe Governor Pritzker? He wrote on Instagram. Nothing unreasonable here as far as I can see. Hopefully, you can find John Stamos. I have heard he's hard to pin down. You have a couple of months here to get this together. I know Chicagoans can make me happy. Shatner seems to be in good health after undergoing surgery on his shoulder in March following a scary horse riding accident late last year. That same month, he celebrated his 95th birthday, sharing on Instagram, At 95, I am still smoking. I've learned two things. Never waste a good cigar. Never trust anyone who says you should act your age. Riot Fest has a long-running tradition of playfully convincing celebrities to perform alongside their lineup of legitimate musical acts. In 2025, John Stamos made his Riot Fest debut with the Beach Boys after 12 years of campaigns, look-alike contests, and outlandish invitations finally got to him. He, too, shared his hilarious rider. Stamos, Mike Love, Bruce Johnson, and the Beach Boys touring band performed a nostalgia-packed set list including Surfing USA, Good Vibrations, and Kokomo. For over a decade, At Riot underscore Fest has been goofing on me in the sweetest way, and honestly, I love it. Thank you for all the playful ribbing, for keeping me humble, and for letting me be part of this wild family. It's such an honor to finally stand here with the legendary at the Beach Boys. I'm grateful. I'm flattered, Stamos 62 posted following his appearance, sharing a video of moments from the festival. So here's to 12 years of jokes, 12 years of love, and hopefully at least 12 more. Thank you, Riot Fest. I am truly honored to be here, he added. Let's talk about them celebrities. Jenny Mollin admits she's massively depressed but surviving amid her split from Jason Biggs. No, I don't want to read that. Rosie O'Donnell says, GLP-1s saved my life after years of struggling to lose weight. It quieted the food noise. Rosie O'Donnell has nothing to hide when it comes to her weight loss journey. In recent years, the League of Their Own star has been very open about her health, including the steps she took towards losing weight and her recent decision to get a facelift. During a sit-down with People, O'Donnell delved even further into her health journey and the transformative impact that GLP-1 medication has had on her life. Quote, "It's a miracle drug," O'Donnell, 64, said of Mounjaro, which she began taking 3 years ago. "I was stunned by how it quieted the food noise. I've had trouble with my weight my whole life." O'Donnell explained that she began taking the drug after she was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Mounjaro, a GLP-1RA medication, mimics a natural hormone in the body that helps to regulate blood sugar levels, suppress appetite, and promote weight loss. But like many GLP-1s, the drug is also known for having significant gastrointestinal side effects. Quote, "I know some people are ashamed to talk about it, but I wanted to share how it helped me. And I don't like secrets as a whole," O'Donnell told the outlet. She explained that her struggles with food began after the death of her mother, Roseanne O'Donnell, when she was 10. The comedian said that all of her siblings got heavy as they dealt with the grief and trauma of the loss. "And so Mounjaro saved my life," O'Donnell continued. "I've lost a pound or two a month for 3 years. I really wish I could do commercials for Mounjaro, and they would drop the price instead of paying me. Because when I see people struggling with obesity, I want to say I know the shame that we carry and the humiliation that is dealt to people who are overweight." She added that even before her diagnosis, her weight was a constant source of anxiety. Quote, "When I would do late night, my biggest concern wasn't my set. It was, did I look fat?" she recalled. "The first time I did a talk show, it was Pat Sajak, and people were saying, 'You are so good.' And I'd go, 'How did I look in that blazer? I wasn't even heavy then.'" These days, O'Donnell isn't plagued by how she looks. Quote, "I feel much healthier and more powerful in my physicality," she shared. The use of GLP-1s as a weight loss drug has been a hot-button topic in recent years, especially for those in the public eye. Stars including Serena Williams, Oprah Winfrey, and Meghan Trainor have promoted the weight management method, while others have spoken out against the positive testimonials. The Big Bang Theory alum Mayim Bialik detailed her experience with GLP-1 medication in an essay published by the Free Press, writing that she experienced dramatic adverse effects after just one low dose. Quote, "Explosive, uncontrollable diarrhea. Sulfur burps so violent they left me afraid to open my mouth in public," she recounted. "Sneezing attacks every time I tried to eat or drink. Cramping, bloating, full body aching, as though I had the flu, and an inability to keep down even small sips of water without sprinting to the bathroom with yet more explosive diarrhea." Meanwhile, model Ashley Graham has described the rising popularity of the weight loss drug as a smack in the face in the wake of the body positivity movement, while also noting that it is merely a temporary trend rather than a permanent fixture in medicine. Speaking of food, our next story, Ben Affleck opens up about his McDonald's eating habits. Ben Affleck would very much like a side of Golden Arches to go along with his pair of gilded Oscars. Thank you very much. The Academy Award-winning actor and producer appeared on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Celebrity Edition alongside host Jimmy Kimmel, who introduced Affleck with a jab at his partnership with Kimmel's longtime fake foe, Matt Damon. Quote, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome that demon, Matt Damon's much better half," Kimmel joked. As the game went on, Affleck, who competed on behalf of the Eastern Congo Initiative charity, weathered a question about McDonald's, which fans will know is fitting for the star, as he was memorably photographed at one of the fast food chain's establishments in New York City in 2022. Quote, "Unless you specifically ask for more, which McDonald's sandwich is served with half a slice of cheese?" Kimmel read. The four answers Affleck had to choose from included the McRib, the McCrispy, the iconic Filet-O-Fish sandwich, and a classic Big Mac. At this point, Affleck then admitted, "I eat a lot of McDonald's, like a lot, all the time," he said. Upon using a lifeline and asking the studio audience for help, Filet-O-Fish led the pack, netting Affleck $32,000 to advance to the next question. Damon previously appeared on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in July 2025 when he and Jeopardy icon Ken Jennings competed together and collected the legendary $1 million prize on behalf of Water.org, Damon's organization dedicated to helping bring clean water and sanitation systems to underserved areas around the world. Quote, "I'm begrudgingly going to shake your hand," Kimmel told Damon in the 2025 episode before reaching out and shaking the receptive actor's hand. We have come to the end of our program. I have been reading Entertainment Weekly for the week of July 25th. I'm Bob Riley, and this has been a production of Sight Into Sound Radio, Houston, Texas.